up some hot dogs, cook up some corn, throw a beer on the grill. I don't know. That's fun. I'm just stalling at this point. Do you cook a last question? This is a good one. Do you, when you do hot dogs and brats, do you do the beer bath on the grill?
Negative.
Negative. No. Have you ever?
I have not. That sounds okay. Like sacrilege from the land of beer and brats.
Dude, that's nuts. I don't know how you're saying it's sacrilegious when...
We do the soak. We often will do the beer soak ahead of time.
Yes, okay, that's fair. And I think that does a job too. But next time, get that simple metal tray from the grocery store, that one that's neglected and a little crunched up. Get it. Put it to good use. Yingling, great beer for this. I know you don't even have it in Milwaukee.
We have Yingling here. We do.
You do?
It's in Wisconsin. Yes, sir.
No, my God. See, this is why we extend podcasts.
It is not the same because it's brewed by Molson Coors in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So it does not taste the same. I've had it.
Lame.
They have a contract with them and they brew it here with corn syrup. So it is not the same.
Fucking boo, man. That sucks ass. All right. Get good Yingling because it's a beautiful beer for this. And pour it in your pot. Get the onions, sliced onions in there, because you're going to want them nice and sliced like you would put them on a hot dog. They'll boil in there while you're cooking the hot dogs, and then just toss those dogs and those brats in there. Let them soak. Let them be in there for 2 hours, you know, while you're getting drunk, and then when you're finally ready for them, get in there. Hot dogs, by the way. Cut the ends. Get some nice crispies. That's good. I like a slice perfectly down the middle. Split it open. Flatten it. I'm making you stay up late, man. This is great. You gotta split the hot dog, you know, get more crunchy bits. Is that sacrilegious? I don't know. Hello and welcome everyone to the Big One Podcast. We're on episode 12 of the season. If you haven't ever heard of us, you're starting it wrong, but feel free to jump in wherever. We're going to be talking about Dover and Indy qualifying and a couple other things this weekend, or from this past weekend. We're going to be talking about the Coke 600 and all the Memorial Day festivities at the Indy 500. We're the Big One Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Podcast Big One or email us at podcastbigone@gmail.com if you have topics or you just want to join the show. I mean, who's joining me today?
Baby G is joining you today on the Big One Podcast. What's up, B-Boy? How are we doing today?
Yeah, it's probably because he emailed us and then asked if he could join, and that's why he's here. So our podcast is all about motorsports. If you haven't known what I'm talking about yet, I don't even know who listens to podcasts without knowing what they're listening to. That's wild. Speaking of wild things, do we have a sponsor this week?
I was not able to secure one. What about yourself?
You know, I should come up with something, but I've got nothing for you. I keep thinking of brands I kind of want to get. I don't want to give anyone airtime. You know, I'd rather it be dead. Let's just moment of silence for 5 seconds for no sponsor. And we're back! That was a short 5 seconds. Let's talk storylines. What's going on in the world of motorsports, Baby G?
First storyline, NASCAR is moving closer to again racing in downtown Chicago with growing optimism that the Chicago Street Course will be part of NASCAR's 2027 schedule.
That's cool. I'm indifferent. I feel okay about that. What about you?
Yeah, I kind of like it. I mean, they had a couple years there where they had some issue with weather, and we never really got the full experience, right? They had all these concerts planned the 1 year. Those got canceled. We had some rain, some issues. You know, Chicagoland is back on the schedule this year. I don't know what that means, if they're going to be going to Chicago Street Course, or this is taking San Diego. Who knows? But...
yeah,
I don't know, man. It's an interesting one. I think it was a really cool event the couple years they had it there. The racing was actually quite good. The camera shots were amazing. So I'm kind of excited about this one.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a tough track. I mean, SVG won that first one, but then he had trouble the next 2 years, right? And so like it is a tough track to kind of get back to and run a clean race the whole time. Reddick almost won there in a Jordan car, so I'm excited about that. San Diego, who knows? This might be the one and done. I think the logistics of doing it at the base may be too much. We'll figure out. It's hard to be excited when they say something like this is going to come, because you're just like, what's going to leave? And honestly, I love all of the road courses this year. We have like the best lineup of road courses I think NASCAR has ever had this year. Granted, I don't know how San Diego's going to go, but like just assuming that one is the weak point, it's a really great schedule of road courses on this schedule. So I'm good with it, but curious what it's going to leave. I think, to your point, Chicagoland might not be raced, because why would you do both? That doesn't make a lot of sense. And I hate that we aren't going to go to Road America. I love Road America, and I advocated for that back every single year. I think that the Chicago Street Course was going, and they kept talking about canceling it, because like Road America is there, and it's a really, really good track. And we've raced there before with some of the other series, and it's great. It's really great racing. I wish they would go back, but if you're going to do Chicago Street Course, that's cool with me too. What else is going on?
Speaking of the schedule, so we've got a quote here that Dover will be part of the Cup Series for the foreseeable future. I don't know who had that quote. You added this one on there. So what's the insight on this one?
I sure did. I don't really have much insight. They said that during the Cup All-Star broadcast and with no other context. So I don't know if that was said in such a way that it's like it's going to be, you know, a points-paying race next year. I don't know. I'll say, and we can save some of the commentary for the race, I'll say, like, I'm very happy to have it as a Cup points race, and I think it should be. We didn't get a reaction to the schedule when it came out last year, but I was definitely sad to see Dover lose a points race. And I was excited for the All-Star race until they announced the format, and then I was just like, well, just do a points race there, then, if you're going to do this. But anyway, we'll break that down here in a little bit. Next up, Catherine Legg will attempt the double with HMD Motorsports and HA Foyt Racing in the 500, and Livfast Motorsports in the 600. Sponsorships from Elf Cosmetics. I need to tell Jamie about that, because she just brought up Elf Cosmetics, and apparently one of the co-founders just recently decided to give up all of his money to charity and become a monk.
Whoa.
That's all I know about Elf Cosmetics, but it is apparently a very humane and very like cheap but good brand of cosmetics, which in the world of cosmetics, that's like unheard of. So all I know is that's a good sponsor. I like that. And we've already talked about Catherine Legg and how much we like her. We're very excited to see her do the double. And I hope she does better than Larson. Honestly, like, it's not a high bar. Larson didn't do that well. Tony Stewart's the bar. He's the high bar. So we'll see if she could do better than that. I doubt it, but I think she could do pretty well. What do you think?
Yeah, this was late-breaking news. Actually, while we were recording the podcast last week, it was basically tweeted out while we were recording, and it's, you know, kind of a little bit late here that we're breaking this news. But yeah, ELF is Eyes, Lips, and Face Cosmetics. So they sponsored Catherine Legg in the Indy 500. I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but one of the years they had just massive activation there at the Indianapolis mm-hmm. Motor Speedway. So this is a great sponsorship. And yeah, like you said, I hope she can clear the bar that you know, Larson did the last 2 years, and it's going to be hard to finish all 1100 miles of this thing. Just the logistics of it, number one, and then number two, these are not top tier teams, so the equipment, you know, may fail at some point. So we'll see. I'm excited mm-hmm. about it, because it's been talked about a lot, and I think it's really cool that someone is attempting this.
Yeah, and I don't know how much this plays into it, but I did see that Larson's two attempts he attempted twice, right? His two attempts, there are 22 extra minutes between these two than there were for Larson. Because remember, he barely made the one, and he didn't make the other one because of the rain, right?
Right, so, like, correct.
Now, Catherine is going to have a backup driver for if she can't do the 600, and I hope that's going to be someone good. I just hope that she's able to do both, so that would be cool. Alex Bowman's dog is diagnosed with cancer. Why would you do this? We just talked about Elf Cosmetics, an uplifting story about a monk, and now we're going straight into dogs with cancer. What is your problem, baby?
The hits just keep coming for Bowman, man. This guy cannot catch a break, and let's hope that pupper pulls through.
My goodness. Yeah, and you know, he at least a couple times a year, he has, like, I forget if it's a what brand it is. Is it Purina or something? I don't know. He has some kind of a dog brand on there. And then his charity is for pets, too. Guy's a big pet guy. That, of all the dogs that could have gotten cancer, that's a bad one. It's like Lewis Hamilton's bulldog all over again, if you know what I'm talking about. Oh, brutal. Okay, well, uplifting story. We really sandwiched them in here, I guess. Aspire crew member Donovan Williams was treated and released Saturday after suffering minor injuries while saving Amanda Busick from the Fox News crew, or not Fox News, Fox Motorsports crew, from a runaway pit box in Dover. We saw the video. Break it down for us. What happened?
This was crazy. So these, you know, pit box equipment, whatever you want to call it, the huge thing where the drivers are on, they've got multiple people on there. We've got this kind of just rolling down a hill or something at Dover. And
yeah,
Amanda Busick was in the line of fire. And this dude, Spire Donovan Williams, like, hell yeah, brother. Like, he just saves the day and, like, literally throws his body in front of it. And that could have been a real nasty situation if this was not slowed down.
Now, I don't know how they normally control these things. So, like, let's just paint a picture for the people at home. This is like your little red wagon, except for if your little red wagon weighed basically a ton. Because there's so much equipment in there. Like, think about your tool, if you have tools and you have one of those metal tool storage things in your garage. It's a massive one of those. With all of the tools you could ever think of, all of these really heavy parts and equipment, as well as a lot of electronics, as well as a sturdy enough infrastructure, as you put it, to have people sit on the roof of it. It is a massive thing. And he's just pulling it with the handle, and you see him kind of like pull it. And the way Dover is set up too, the infield is kind of like at, say that's like sea level. You actually dip below sea level to get to pit lane. It dips down because Dover's banking is so high and so long that it actually kind of goes down, and then the banking goes back up the track. And so that little dip from infield down in, someone, they must have brakes on these things. They got to, for sure. And someone didn't hit the brake, or someone was supposed to be on it and wasn't there, or someone let go. Who knows? But something happens there. And you know, Amanda said saved her life. She may not be exaggerating. You could get crushed by one of these things pretty easily. And that thing had some good speed to it. So well done, Donovan. Round of applause from the Big One crew here. We should have gotten him on the podcast. What a hero story that would have been. Next time. Speaking of heroes, we have our 2027 NASCAR Hall of Fame inductees. Read them off for us, Baby G.
Hall of Fame inductees on the Modern Era ballot, Kevin Harvick and Jeff Burton. And your Pioneer Era ballot is Larry Phillips. So no surprise on the Modern Era ballot there for those two gentlemen. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, I am not all that familiar with who Larry Phillips is. I did not have time to do that research today yet.
You know what? I did not either. Not sure who it is, but I'm sure they're deserving. I wanted to look something up because Kevin Harvick was just racing in 2023, right? He didn't race last year, and obviously not this year. So this is only his, like, 1.5 years removed. Am I right?
I want to say so. I thought they had to be a number of years removed from full-time racing, so...
That's what I'm thinking. Okay, so yeah, his last race was 2023 Phoenix. Yeah, that's why I was bringing this up. It's too soon. I think it's too soon. And I know, like, he's on the ballot, then he's deserving. He should be in the Hall of Fame. But I think 5 years. I want 5 years removed is my take on this. Again, very deserving. Jeff Burton, the mayor, getting in there. And Larry Phillips, again, probably someone deserving. But good inductees. I just wish Kevin had to wait a little bit longer. But he gets to rub something else in Clint Bowyer's face. That's, like, the only thing that's entertaining about these two on the Fox broadcast. And I know we're going to... We have, this was our final Fox race, guys. We're on to, like, good coverage for the rest of the year, thank God. But, man, Kevin and just, like, really loves to rub Clint any which way. And he got some good licks in this year, and especially in this past race, because Clint actually got to race. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the truck race. How did the stages break down?
Truck race from Dover on Friday night. So unlike the Cup Series that was the All-Star race, Trucks and O'Reilly were points-paying races. So Stage 1 winner,
yay,
Kyle Busch. Stage 2 winner, Kyle Busch. And your Stage 3 and race winner, Kyle Busch, who also happened to have the pole for this thing. So KB opening up a can of whoop-ass out at Dover in that
and
truck.
And it was. It absolutely was. There was nobody really that had much for him except for Ross Chastain. And just as Ross has had these issues in the past, he kind of has a bit of a like a gamble strategy to try and make it to the end, and it just doesn't work out on a tire strategy for him. We'll get to that though. Destiny Spurlock finally gets to make her Truck Series debut. Unfortunately, she's also the first caution. She finishes last in her debut. I'll give her a little bit of credit here because she loses it, you know, gets air packed onto you. Dover's a hard racetrack. That's why I want it on the schedule, by the way. It's just a really hard racetrack. It's curved the whole way around. There's a lot of banking on the straightaway. I don't know if it's the most banking on straightaways, but it's got to be up there. And basically, if you're coming up off the corner and it kind of debanks a little bit, you're still not straight. You're still not ready. And Destiny had a little bit of extra air under her back end, starts to lose it, and then the other two cars kind of dive low. And to her credit, as she saves it, she goes, you know what, I could save this and I could hit this guy, or I could turn it back across the racetrack to try and, like, you know, keep from hitting another person. And she tries to do that, and that is actually her biggest downfall. That's what ends up keeping her spinning, and she ends up hitting the inside wall. Well, speaking of women in the Truck Series, Natalie Decker did not have a good race again. Did not make minimum speed, was asked to come down pit lane, and she kind of has a meltdown. And did you get to listen to this?
I saw bits and pieces of it, and I heard some commentary on it, and it was just one of those things like, oh, I'm never coming back to the Truck Series again. Something along those lines. I didn't quite get the full quote on that one, though.
It's brutal. Honestly, it's like, to see the quotes was one thing. Like, I didn't feel bad for her in the moment, because I'm thinking the same thing. I'm like, yeah, I don't think you're deserving of the truck, and, like, probably shouldn't be. But honestly, it's really brutal, because you could tell that, yeah, she's having a tough race, and she isn't making minimum speed. She's struggling, and she just does not seem to have, like, a good feel for the trucks. And, you know, there's just this pressure on her because of so many people already being mad about the week before, or her even having a ride, and all of this stuff. She doesn't do herself any favors, so I'm not trying to cut her one here, but it is really heartbreaking to see someone that, like, is starting to have a problem and starts knowing, like, what that's going to do from an outside pressure and, like, Twitter and all the haters' perspective, and then just, like, it's hard to hold that back once that's on top of you and you're starting to fail, right? And so, like, It's a pretty brutal listen. You know, she does say, yeah, I don't want to come back to the Truck Series. And the crew members are just like, or I don't know, it was crew chief or spotter, are just like, we understand. We're sorry. Just come on down pit lane. It's okay. And she's like, I can't. If I come down pit lane right now, like, then I'm failing. Like, I give up. But, like, I can't do that either. Like, she's like, I can't do anything. The trolls are going to be over, like, all over me. And she's right. You know? She said I should stick to O'Reilly Series. Maybe she should. She does do better there, for what it's worth. So, anyway, let's talk about the rest of the racing, because the racing of the trucks was actually pretty good. Even though Kyle Busch opened up a can of whoop ass, the trucks raced really well here. They're nice and light on their feet, which is really, really good for a Dover track. Josevar does have power steering issues at the beginning of the race. He could have maybe had something for Kyle Busch, but those power steering issues, and then he got the wall when a tire went flat a little bit later. It kind of just kept him from running up front the whole day, so we didn't know if he could have done more. Only Ross Chastain really had anything for Kyle Busch, but like I said, that tire strategy just didn't work out for him. Clint Bowyer was racing. He returned to racing for the first time in, what, 4 or 5 years at least. And definitely in the Truck Series, a long, long time. But he raced in that Ram open seat, the celeb seat, I think that's what they're calling it. He gets his return to the Truck Series and did okay. He ran last of the Rams. So, you know, in comparison, that's not great. But then again, that seat is probably going to do the worst because it doesn't have the same driver week to week. But he did get inside the top 20. He was knocking on the door of 15th or 14th. He got used up a couple times. A couple of these drivers not giving him much respect out there. He's not a Hall of Famer like Harvick, so, you know, doesn't deserve it, I guess. But, yeah, he got used up a couple times. He did cause an issue for another driver, so that was not great. But looked like he was going to limp at home for, like, a 20th place finish, and the car broke on him. So he ends up finishing, way back there. So, but it looked like he had fun, and that's all that matters.
Love that Ram. I mean,
he made minimal speed. You know?
Yeah, he did. Love that Ram is doing that, you know, celebrity truck this year, moving over to the new brand, new trucks, all that stuff. It's cool to see them get a little bit of spice and flavor in there because, you know, like we said, we're talking about it here and it's getting people talking about it on the broadcast. So, yeah, cool. Love to see that Boyer got in there and let it rip.
Yeah, for sure. That reminds me, isn't Kevin Harvick, he's going to do one, right?
I believe so. I don't know what race, but I think he is going to be in one of those later this season.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. I know Tony Stewart did the Daytona. Oh, Travis Pastrana was the one who I was just trying to think of that they just announced. I don't know when he's racing, but he's going to be racing a race. And yeah, I think Kevin Harvick's going to race one as well. But yeah, I like this seat as well. I think it's pretty cool. So, all right, moving right along. Do you want to break down our O'Reilly series?
Yeah, O'Reilly series on Saturday from Dover. Stage one winner, Brandon Jones. Stage 2 winner, Ross Chastain, and your Stage 3 and race winner was Corey Day. So another win for Corey Day in that absolute rocket ship of an O'Reilly car.
Yep. Well, I'll say, like, Talladega, he only led one lap. Here, he led slightly more than one lap, but, like, it didn't look like he was going to win this race at any point in the whole day. It really was everyone else's day. Ross Chastain looked like the best car for the early stages of the race. Yeah, let me break down, I guess, some of the action here. But first and foremost, we have an accident pretty early on in the race. And Jeb Burton has been taking a lot of flack online. He's another one of those guys that I think he's an okay racer. I think he should stay in O'Reilly or Truck Series, but probably have a full-time ride. And basically the ride that he has, I think, is about perfect for him. But he catches a lot of flack anyway because he's not getting any better, and he does have the nepotism factor. So in this case, he basically is coming up off the Dover corner and sees a wreck happening in front of him. So he starts backing off. The two guys behind him are coming high speed out of the corner, do not see the wreck, do not back off. And Retzlaff just runs right into the back of them and ends both their days. Jeb, again, like I said, tried to get online and say, like, this is what I saw. I saw the accident. I was trying to lift and just, like, you know, caution was clearly out and, you know, got ran into. And I don't think he deserves any flack for that one, but whatever. Ross took control, had a really, really good first stint. Brandon Jones eventually passes him and takes stage one, as we mentioned. But him and Raja have a really, really good run to the end of stage one to finish second and third. And Raja Carruth looks like he might be able to compete for this win. But then as we begin the final stage, Ross Chastain, Raja Carruth, Ross gets buried back. He's in third or fourth, I think, starting position. And Raja starts on the inside of Jesse Love. Well, two laps in, Raja shoots it in there, trying to keep it low. And what happened a couple times with these O'Reilly cars is if you're on the outside of someone, you can kind of suck their back end around at Dover. Remember, we used to see it at Daytona. Ricky Stenhouse was a weapon with it, right? He used to pack the air on the corner panel and then, like, basically make them spin coming out of a corner. It almost the exact same thing, just if you're on the outside of someone and you kind of pack it in, like, real close to them, it becomes a vacuum, and it sucks that back end of under the car on the inside around. And basically, Raja kind of loses it underneath Jesse Love. Yes, he shoots it in there, but Jesse Love gives him no space as well, and this causes incidents, and it did a couple times. Well, it ruins Love's race. That's the third time those two have tangled this season. And then Raja, about 20 laps later, races and wrecks again the same way. Someone else on his corner, he goes in hard. If he lifts, this is what needs to happen. If he goes into that corner and someone's right on his outside and is going to kind of like keep him low like that, he has to lift. He can't stay in the gas. If he tries to get in the gas, it's going to be way too light and it's going to suck his back end around. And he basically had to learn a very, very hard way. In this, Harrison Burton's the one that gets a ruined race, and Raja continues to race. And I think Raja ends up finishing, like, maybe even top 10. I don't actually remember where he finished, but yeah, crazy. Raja, tough race for him.
Yeah, he's got to slow down a little bit in some of these races because he's been kind of tearing up some cars a little bit and tearing up some other cars, not just his own. So would like to see Raja maybe just dial it back a little bit, slow down and try to get through a couple of these races here without an incident because, yeah, it's not been an uncommon thing this season.
I can't imagine the mentality. I mean, we talked about Jeb Burton earlier, too. The mentality of a guy that doesn't run a full season. Jeb does have a full season with his car, but he didn't in the past, and he used to race like this, too. And I think that Raja, probably talent-wise, is a little bit better, but it's hard to show it when you don't have the consistency, you don't have the same team week to week, and he's worried about where he's going to race next year. It's tough. It is very tough. That all said, a couple more things happen. Taylor Gray gets into Ross Chastain. Ross saves it. Honestly, a really incredible save at Dover. We were talking about how hard it is for Destiny to save at Dover. Like, Ross, what a save on the straightaway. But basically, Taylor Gray gets loose, starts to spin. Maybe he could have saved it. Who knows? But Sam Mayer just doesn't lift and just runs through the back of him and just, like, shoves him down into the inside wall. Ends his day. And then we get a restart with about 34 to go. It looks like a classic Allgaier finish. Like, where was he all day? Probably getting good stage points, but not, like, top five. And then all of a sudden, whoa, he's up front. Oh, and now he restarted, and now he's about up to the lead. He's probably going to win this damn race, because that's what he's been doing this year. But Corey Day chases him down, and I didn't want to give credit to Corey Day on the luck of winning at Talladega. This was a very earned win and a very good win at a hard track. Allgaier, at the end of the day, is pretty pissed at Lothian, which was the lapped car that kind of slowed him up, kind of took away his line a couple times. And at the end of the day, when Corey Day makes his pass, did you see this pass, by the way?
I did not, no. Unfortunately, no. Right.
Go back and watch it. It was about like 5 or 6 to go. Corey has caught him, and now he's going to have to set up a pass. And Allgaier's trying to go to the inside of Lothian, who I said had kind of taken away his line a couple turns in a row. So Allgaier slows it up to get to the inside, and Corey just gasses up on the outside, sends them 3 wide, and has the pass completed by the time they make it to the backstretch. Honestly, really incredible pass, and then Corey runs away with it and gets his second win on the year. Good job, Corey. You want to break down the All-Star race for us on Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday All-Star race from Dover, so... I don't have the breakdown of the segments, so we'll just jump right to it here. Denny Hamlin wins the $1 million, and he says his mama is getting some new furniture for her new house because, unfortunately, they had that horrible, horrible accident over the off season, and you know, Denny Hamlin takes home the $1 million here in the All-Star race.
Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool. All in all, like, I watched the race off and on. I was outside doing yard work, but... utilize that outside mounted TV because that's what it's for. And it just felt like a full race with the weird gimmicks. That's what it was. And I don't like an all-star race with this many participants. I think that's pretty universally true. I also don't like an all-star race where I have trouble following it because I follow NASCAR week in, week out. We talked about it last week. We were like, I don't know what the format is. I remember reading it. Remember when it came out? I remember reading it and being pissed about it and then forgetting it because it was so hard to follow. All in all, the heat style of, like, race a stage and then inverse and race another stage and that's your racing order for the end, that's cool. I like that. I think that's pretty cool. It shows the comers and goers, shows the cars that are going to be able to run well. Do that. Just make that the All-Star race and do a similar format for the Open. I loved the Open. The Open... would always have the better finishes. I remember Kyle Larson and Chase Elliott before they were teammates beating and banging to see who was going to win the Open and get into the All-Star race. It was a fantastic finish. If you never saw this, go back and watch it. Charlotte a bunch of years ago. Chase Elliott ends up winning the fan vote because of course, so it didn't matter. But Kyle Larson had to win that race, and he did. That's what you had to do at the Open to be able to make it in advance. And the Open is really, really important to the All-Star race. That all said, the All-Star race field would have been still pretty large because we have so much parity and there's so many different winners. We got to figure out something. And I don't know what it's got to be. Maybe the All-Star race is just the winners from last year. Maybe it's just the 16 that made the playoffs the year before. Maybe it's a driver-based thing and not a ride-based thing. I don't know. I'm not, there's a million opinions out there. I don't even want to say what mine is, but this ain't it.
I would agree. I mean, this was impossible for me to follow because I was a little bit in and out. You know, I was out of town. I was helping set up for a party, and I'm like, eventually I'm like, what is going on? Like, this is still going, yeah. And they're not at the main event yet? Like, I was like, this I thought this was gonna be over by now. So I was like, forget it. Like, I'm out. I don't have time for this. Like, Big G had a comment like, why is the 51 an all-star? Like, Cody Ware?
Mm-hmm.
Because we saw him at when we were in Kansas, just a total shitbox. And I'm unfortunate that I didn't get to watch this one, because you've been, you know, pumping up this race, and everything I'm reading says it was an absolutely amazing 200-mile race. And I'm like, damn, let's get a points race.
It was
race
ruined
here,
by
then.
The fact that it was an all-star race.
Yeah,
yeah,
without
exactly.
a doubt, without a doubt. And I did just have a chance to go back and watch the end of that O'Reilly race, and man, what a move. Like, you've got that lap car, Lothane in the middle, Corey Day goes high, Allgaier goes low, and like, they come off and basically both pass him at the same time. Allgaier gets loose and Day just lets it rip for another two corners and he's gone. So amazing, amazing finish to that O-Raps race.
Yeah, this was true all weekend. So, like, first off, we were also unsure about what the PJ1 was going to do and how it was going to affect things and if it was going to make things bad. It was great. They applied it before the Cup Series went out there and did their original practice, and then they applied it again before the Cup All-Star Race, and honestly, it just all worked out. The Cup practice happened before the truck race, and so therefore the PJ1 was down. They got to spread it out with the tires. They actually kind of introduced a higher groove. Meant the trucks had a perfect track, honestly, perfect track for them to race on. O'Reilly didn't have quite as good of a track, because then the truck rubber had built up. They kind of, like, washed that off. But it was really good, because look at what Corey Day was able to do. He was able to go so high. The more lanes you get on a racetrack, generally, the better racing you kind of get. And this is the thing that I think confuses a lot of folks, both in all three series, but definitely in the Cup Series. Like, Tyler Reddick looked really, really good running the high line. Like, he was able to just, like, he would start, like, 12th, and he'd be, like, 4th. After three laps, because he would just rip the top and everyone else is in two lanes at the bottom, and he would just shoot around guys. And people are just like, why doesn't everyone just run the top high lane the whole time? It's fucking hard.
I was going to say, most guys are going to hit the wall.
It's so hard. Yeah, maybe you're going to hit the wall. I mean, it's definitely going to jump out at you. If not, you're going to maybe jump the cushion, right? Get just out of the groove where all that rubber is. And then, yeah, you're going to run into the wall, or you're going to spin out. And when you spin out at Dover, again, it's banked the whole way around, straightaways too. If you spin out of Dover, you are going to hit one wall. Outside, inside, I don't care. You're going to hit one of them. It's so hard to keep the car out of the wall. That it's just, it's so dangerous to run that topside. Unless your car is perfectly set up for it, or you have the tires for it, you can't do it the whole time. And so you have to pick your battles. And Corey Day, what he did on that outside there was fantastic. We saw Hamlin take away the line from your boy Briscoe, who ends up finishing second, by the way, in the All-Star race. He took away his line running, not the wall, not all the way up, but a middle line. And that's even hard to run, too, especially in a defensive position. So, anyway, breaking down a little bit of the stuff that we did see. Really, really crazy, like, well, second lap. We have a giant crash. Ryan Preece is on fire. My wife was just like, is that normal? Like, he needs to get out of there. I was like, yeah, it happens. I was like, unfortunately, it happens to Priest a lot. I don't know why. He's always in bad
accidents.
Yeah,
he's upside down. He's on fire, man. This guy's got some danger in him. Like,
black
wild.
Eyes.
Yeah.
He sure does. He sure does. But yeah, so, yeah, the safer barrier was a little damaged. A lot of cars were torn up on that. Now, the other thing that was interesting, because they didn't have the open, was they had all 36 cars at the beginning. So this happens, and Ryan Blaney's in it, Chase Elliott's, guys that are in the All-Star race. That technically, the NASCAR wouldn't have let them do this, but they could have ran that first lap and came down pit lane and been in clean cars for the last 200 laps. Well, they didn't do that, so now the crews have to fucking put the cars back together, and then they have to race the All-Star race in, like, basically partially broken cars. And that happened a couple times, because there were a couple big accidents in that first, like, the open part of the race. All in all, again, I liked the inversion. I just didn't like having the whole field there. Well, we thinned the field out with this lap two caution. Later on, you know, we were trying to figure out how many cars are going to advance. The way that they did it this year is they said there's going to be X amount of drivers in the All-Star race, period. Now, they already had a set number that should have been in the All-Star race because they had won races or whatever. They qualified, right? Well, some of them don't make it because they're in accidents and they can't repair the cars. So they're just like, okay, well, based on, you know, the qualifying order, based on how you finished in both segments, we're going to take the first one, two, okay, now three, now four, now five, Six guys made the All-Star race that were not otherwise qualified. Nuts. So Daniel Suarez wins the fan vote, but he was not in the final five when they announced it earlier that weekend. And people are like, oh, did Suarez get a bunch of votes? No, he didn't. The other five people were either wrecked or already advancing based on finishing position. So Daniel Suarez gets dialed up. And honestly, like, I didn't think about it in the moment. I was just like, yeah, Daniel, that's great. I would have voted for him. That's cool. But no, he only really gets it because they took seven fucking cars that shouldn't have been in the All-Star race probably anyway. Two of them. I'll allow two to have made it. But beyond that, all the rest just made it because other guys crashed. And they shouldn't have crashed because there should have been an open. Anyway, I'm mad about this. What are your thoughts? What else you got here?
Yeah, the 750 horsepower package and the more downforce. We've got to bring this to every single short track next year. We're experimenting with it this year, and it's clearly working. I need to see that at every short track next season.
Yeah. We do get it at every short track this season, you mean? You're just saying you don't want them to remove it?
This is true, yes. We do have it every year, but like, I think there's been some debate if they're, you know, it's still up for debate this year, right? They could take it away if it's not working. Like, it's working. Let's go with this for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, no, agreed. 100% agree. I mean, if not, even bump it a little bit higher. Like, I'd like us to move the horsepower. I'm not one of those people that's like, let's just go to straight 900 on all racetracks. I think we can dial it in. I think another 50 to 100 at the bigger tracks, and I think maybe 800. At the short tracks. I think we can go just slightly higher. I want to push these tires for what it's worth, because some of the short tracks are still not quite there because you're not getting tire spin. You're not able to, like, you know, use the throttle coming up out of a corner. You're not trying to look for that drive off, and there's not that difference of a guy that wants to be just on the razor's edge and the guy that wants to be just off of it. And we need that difference. So I think we can push it just a little bit further, but not to 900. I don't think we need to go there. Good Dover race. Just sucks the format of it. F1. Thank you for adding this, by the way, because I would have had to look it up. Up next, we're in Montreal for the Canadian Grand Prix. That's going to be fun. No more Monaco, Indy, Charlotte. You're right. Monaco's in a couple more weeks. But good, because Monaco is always the worst part of Sunday. I hated waking up early to watch a race where nobody would ever pass for the lead. Ever. It was one on qualifying day. It was one there, or it was one in pit lane, and that was it. It was never one on track, and it sucked. So fuck it. It's North America's holiday. We're doing it. It's gonna be a great time. Did you know, though? Fun fact for you. Normally, Victoria Day is the Monday before. I think it has to be before the 25th of May, and I don't understand why that is. But it's the first or the last Monday before the 25th of May. So normally that is Labor Day, and they normally line up. But like one or two years, every 7 or 8 years or whatever, Victoria Day is the week before. So Canadian holiday last Monday or this past Monday, and not a holiday for the day after the Montreal race. So unfortunate for all you Quebecans. What do they call them? QBs. We're going to call them QBs here at the Big One Podcast. Email us if we're wrong. Let's talk IndyCar. Get me out of this nosedive. Thank you.
A lot going on in IndyCar, as you would expect, like we've been talking about the past couple of weeks. So two cars were disqualified after making modifications to the energy management system. So this came after qualifying. The cars qualified, and then they got disqualified for illegal modifications. So that's the number 4 of AJ Foyt, which is Kyle Collette, and the number 24 of Dreyer and Reinbold Racing, which is Jack Harvey. So both of those cars will be starting in the rear.
Gotcha. Noted.
Yeah, don't want to be messing with that hybrid system, which is the energy management system. We did have qualifying, so we'll talk about that in a minute, but then there was a massive crash on Monday, the practice day after qualifying, which you never want to see because spend all that time to get those cars dial in. You qualify well. And then Rossi had an issue in practice on Monday where he went around, hit the wall pretty darn hard. And then even worse, Pato O'Ward is coming right behind him and tries to avoid it, loses his car. piles into Rossi. Very, very scary. And lucky that they have that windscreen now on those Indy cars because, man, that whole side of the car was smashed in. And if that, like, really strong, I don't know if it would, if it's made of, like, carbon fiber or steel or something, that windshield's not there, that car might just go and hit Rossi right in the head. So very, very scary wreck in practice. Roman Grosjean also caught up in this. So three strong cars, and all of them have to go to backup, start dialing that in, and they're going to be also starting at the rear. So this is going to be wild for this Indy car with some pretty strong cars starting from the back of the field.
Yeah, question. Do they have any practices left? Like, are there any practices this week?
Yeah, Carb Day on Friday is the last practice. It's after the Weenie 500. They have one more practice, and then that's it.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Well, I'm glad that they'll get a little bit of a chance. I did, when I had seen the crash and everything, I did see someone post a little stat. I have no idea if it's true because it was not, like, a verified account or anything. But they said that nobody that's ever had to go to a backup has ever won the Indy 500, so... Take that.
This could be the year, man. This could be the year.
Yeah. Pato's been close a couple times. He's got my vote. He's who I want to see win if I have to pick anyone. So, anyway, some Weenie 500 news. What's going on there?
Corndog making its debut. So, if you haven't seen this yet, take a look at it for all you listeners out there. They have the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobiles. Last year, there were six of them out on track for the Weenie 500. And this year, they're adding a stick to one of them, so it's a hot dog with a stick. So we've got a corn dog out there for the Weenie 500. So this thing was funny last year. You know, I think they're going to really ham it up even more this year. So they're just leaning into it because it was a social media sensation last year.
I like it. I like it. Well, I got to say one thing. A weenie on a stick is not necessarily a
corn dog. There's got to be breading, bro. I don't know what they're doing about that. This better be no fake corn dog. If it is, I'm turning it off.
That's what I'm saying. Also, corn pups better than corn dogs. You heard it here first. They're just the small ones that you don't put on a stick and you just
pop them in. Yeah, pop them in.
Oh, cool. Well, Caitlin Clark has been named the Indy 500 Grand Marshal. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm not a Caitlin Clark fan, for what it's worth. I kind of hate her. No, I don't hate her. I'm indifferent. I don't care. Yeah. Any thoughts on this?
Also indifferent. Indifferent about the entire WNBA. We can move on to,
you know, who they should have made the Grand Marshals? Peyton Pritchard. It's Caitlin's NBA equivalent. I don't know if you heard about that.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, Indy 500 qualifying recap. What happened out there
Saturday? The entire qualifying was canceled. So what typically happens is all of the cars do their four lap run to get their average, and then they come back on Sunday and do the fast 12 and the fast 6. Unfortunately, this entire thing went on Sunday, so that's just a marathon of qualifying on Sunday. All 33 cars. Then they did the fast 15, fast 12, fast 6, which was insane. Like, that's a lot of runs to get qualifying for the Indy 500. But it was relatively entertaining. So Felix Rosenquist was the fastest car in the top 12. And then you get to the fast 6. Lo and behold, Alex Palou takes pole with a massive run. 241 mile per hour top speed, the only car to hit 241. There were a lot of guys that topped 240 point something.
240.
Palou pushes the limit and goes over 241, and the roar from the crowd was just wild. And I've seen this at qualifying at Milwaukee Mile. Like, the fans are into it, right? Because you see that speed, and sometimes one car just has it and goes for it and sends it. And the people just go wild because, like, it's crazy how hard they push these cars in qualifying because they're just on a razor's edge. And if you lose it, you're going to that backup car because you lose it at 240 miles an hour, you're hitting the wall, that car's toast.
Yeah, it just takes a tiny little misstep. And normally I have my sim racing set up, and I love these weeks leading up to this one because you get to race Indy 500s as many times as you want, which is good because people wreck a lot. But man, I love racing this track, but it's so technical. It's like golf in a way where, like, you can be just nailing every single hit. And then all of a sudden you just go in the same way that you always had, but you're 2 millimeters up and there's a slight bump at that point and you just slightly lose it and you twitch the car and there's a guy on your outside. You're fucked. You're done. The race is over. or you're in the hospital. One of the two.
Yeah, the thing is,
it's a fucking
yeah. The thing is,
car.
These Indy cars are so different than the stock cars in NASCAR, right? They have a ton of tools on the steering wheel that they can do. They're moving the bars around. They're adjusting pressure. They're moving paddles. Mm-hmm. It's like you see them like every lap. They're tweaking what they're doing with the car just based on feel of the seat, feel of the aero, etc. It's amazing. Like they spent a good amount of time explaining this during the qualifying broadcast. Like every run, they kind of give you a little bit of another nugget, and I'm like, how many like buttons are on this steering wheel? It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, I like how much they adjust the car for how close they're following whoever's in front of them. They basically do have modes where they're like dirty air versus clean air, kind of like can they run in the wake of a guy closer to them. And I'm like, dang, that'd be cool for NASCAR. It'd be cool if like you hunt a guy down and then you get close to him, he starts aero blocking, you're just like, fuck you.
Yeah, turn it up.
Turn on my close mode. Here we go. Good luck. Yeah. All right. Well, break down our Indy schedule for the weekend. Where are we racing? When are we racing? What's going on?
Yeah, we have the Weenie 500 on Friday at 2:00 Eastern. So this is not a 500 mile race. I think they do 2 to 3 laps or something like that. It's good fun there during carb day. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday, the big one, May 24th at 12:45 Eastern, the green flag for the Indianapolis 500. Both of these races are on Big Fox.
That's cool. I love the Weenie 500s. I guess it's because it's during carb day and they can just break to it for a sec. I love that. That's really cool. Definitely going to be tuning into the Indy 500. Love, love, love this race, guys. Like, I know we've been hyping IndyCar more and more. It's pretty good racing. Like, I am definitely still much more partial to NASCAR. I know Baby G is more of our IndyCar guy. But this is the race to watch. If you're going to watch this one the whole year, this is so good. It really is. And these cars in the last like 5 or 6 years have just put on such great shows here. I remember we had like a 10-year stretch there where the Indy 500 was not that entertaining. It was really, really hard to pass. And honestly, like there was so much more about track position and how you pit and all this different stuff. And not anymore. I mean, that is a way that you can kind of like get yourself forward. But like just the runs that you can generate, the momentum that you want to keep up. They're racing on a razor's edge. It seems like they're all racing in line, but they're just actually setting up a guy like 3 or 4 corners in advance. They're trying to make their run to get to the guy right at the right point where he can make the pass and not be side by side in the corner. There's just so much technicality going into this race. It's a really good one. Check it out. Hopefully no rain. Did we check the forecast?
It's looking good. It's looking good for the Indy 500. Okay. Not so good out there in Charlotte for the NASCAR week.
Oh, no.
So, I've got comments about the Indy 500, but we can save those for after the race. And I mean, I think the biggest thing is like after the split, you know, you had CART and IndyCar separate. Open wheel racing in America was way down, right? NASCAR was massive. CART, IndyCar, they were absolutely tiny. Nobody cared. And the Indy 500 is on just an absolute heater right now. They've sold out the entire grandstands again, so you're going to have over 350,000 people on property. You know, you've got the snake pit on the infield, so that's like 60,000.
I was going to say, still doing the concerts.
The grandstands are like 300,000 people, full sellout. Oof. The energy is absolutely huge. So, like you said, I am just jacked up for this Indy 500. This is the, you know, I'm super excited for the Coke 600 as well, but man, the last couple of years of the Indy 500 have been absolute banger races. Looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, as you mentioned, we are in Charlotte this weekend. Let me break down the races, and then I'll break down the weather, I guess, after that, because I'm looking at that. We've got the Truck Series race on Friday night, North Carolina Education Lottery 200, 7:30 Eastern. Then we've got the ORAP, the O'Reilly Series, at the Charbroil 300 at 5:00 Eastern on Saturday. And lastly, but not leastly, we've got the Cup race, the longest race of the year, the Coca-Cola 600, starting at 6 Eastern on Sunday. But guess what? You're off on Monday, so you can watch it. You can stay up late. It's going to be all right. Tell them B-Boy sent you. Looking at the weather, you're right. But I know southern weather, having grown up there. And my take on this is, first off, this is what it says. It says Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 70, the high 70s and low in the 60s, 55% chance rain every day. Yep. That's a southeastern prediction, because that means spots of rain, but big openings where you can get some races in. The big thing to note here, Thursday night, 90 degrees. Today, today being Wednesday, 93 degrees and partly cloudy, no rain for the whole day. That's a hot day, followed by thunderstorms. That's good. What that means is that we're going to get, again, spots of little bits of rain, maybe some mist, but it cools off down to that 77 degrees on Friday. We're going to get racing in. I'm going to tell you that. We might get some green tracks because some rain in between, some rain in the mornings, likes to rain in the mornings and likes to rain overnight. But Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm calling it. We're going to be okay. Maybe a couple scattered thunderstorms. Hopefully you don't have to clear the crowds, but we're going to get racing in. You called it. I called it. I'm putting it at the front of the podcast. I don't care. Previous winners here in the spring. We had Ross Chastain in 2025. Christopher Bell in 2024, and Ryan Blaney in 2023. Thank you for not including the Roval races. That would have been really dumb.
We only care about the Coke 600, baby. I love this race, and I am excited. So I'm like, let's forget it. We don't need the Rovals. We just need the Oval.
That's a good one. Was this the last race that we were at together? Or did we? No, I guess you came out here. Okay.
Yeah, that was an O-Raps race, though.
O-Raps. Yeah, not the same. Not the same. I forgot that Ross won last year. That's pretty cool. I don't think Trackhouse is going to win. Who do you think is going to win the Coke 600?
Ooh, baby. Oh, man. Wow. That's a loaded question right there. I mean, Blaney? Like, would love to see Blaney, maybe. But I don't know. I haven't seen the performance out of Penske on the mile and a half this year. I mean, what do you think about Hosovar? He has been good on the mile and a half. I could see a guy like Larson. He's been pretty strong on the mile and a half, and Hendrick's been dialing it in general. I really think this year it's anybody's race. I would not be surprised if it's anybody in the top 16 in standings that wins this race, to be completely honest. It can be a war of attrition at some times, right? 600 miles, the longest race of the season. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you've got, we don't have the stages on here, but you have four 100-lap stages, right? Four points-paying stages. There could be some strategy play coming in here as well. There could be some weather strategy plays if it looks like we're going to have a potential rain-shortened race. So I think this is a total wild card. I could see Hamlin. Like, he's been good on mile and a half. I don't know. I could just, like I said, I could rattle off 10 guys, and it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I think you would do yourself a disservice to bet against Toyota. And
Bubba?
The reason I asked, Bubba? This is, I think Bubba's up there. So first off, I think Tyler Reddick's going to win. Like, if I'm putting a bet on anyone going into the weekend, not seeing speeds or anything yet, I'm going to bet on Tyler Reddick with the momentum. He actually almost won here in 2023. If you remember, had a really good car then, finished second to Blaney. He had a really, really good car last year. Even it was one of the closest races he had to winning last year, actually. And so Reddick is going to be my pick, but I'd say you can't go wrong with any Toyota. Christopher Bell is looking to put a race together. Blaney in 2023, that was his first big race that emerged him to be the champion that we knew he could be later on that year. I think you're going to be looking Toyota. But the person that I'm going to call out is Briscoe, because he's really good here, and he has almost won this a couple times. In that Blaney one, I think it was that race, or maybe it was the year before, he actually went for the win against Kyle Larson in a green white checkered and wrecked them both. And then that's what allowed Blaney to, or it wasn't Blaney, it was the year before that, but it allowed whoever else won that year to win. So, I really think the Toyotas, I think Briscoe is probably my favorite from the JGR camp. Bubba could win it for sure. Ty Gibbs has ran really, really well so far this year. It's going to be a Toyota. Don't bet against Toyota. All right, let's read some standings.
We don't need to read the standings.
Oh, no.
Because we did them last week, and no change for the All-Star race. So what do you say? You want to take us out here this week?
I guess so. I was having such a fun time. All right, well, this has been the Big One Podcast. You can follow us at Podcast Big One on Twitter or email us at podcastbigone@gmail.com. We need to create a blue sky, by the way. This is our gentle reminder. I don't know that people use it, but it's out there. So, and maybe an Instagram. That's a thing, I think. Make some reels.
Oh, dude, I got a full-time job plus hobbies. I don't have time for reels plus this podcast.
Dude, you're supposed to be our TikToker.
I got to start outsourcing this shit to India.
Just make an AI bot do it, right? That's the new move. All right, well, that's it for us. Hope you've enjoyed the All-Star Race weekend. We didn't enjoy the All-Star Race, but we enjoyed the weekend, and we're gonna have a really awesome weekend. Happy Memorial Day to everyone out there, all the vets out there. Red, white, and blue day. Not as big as July 4th, I guess, but it's a good one. So, any last comments?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think people sometimes can lose sight of why we have Monday off, and it's really because of the people that have served this country. And I have, you know, coworkers and friends who've served, relatives who've served, and I just can't say thank you enough, because having never done it, I have no idea what that commitment is, but I just know it's, you've got time away from your family, you're doing something mm-hmm. that's just extremely honorable, and like you said, thank you from the Big One Podcast. That sounds amazing, bro. This has been your food podcast, your beer podcast, your riff podcast. I'm loving it, man.
All right. This has been it. See ya, B-Boy. Bye.
Bye.